Gracious and holy God, in your name we gather. In your love we listen and hear. In your wisdom we understand. And in your grace we comprehend and can live. Let these words become your words, and may the meditations of all of our hearts and minds together be acceptable in your sight, you who are our strength and our salvation. Amen. Greetings, favored one. The Lord is with you. Let's just imagine that together. You've seen all the artwork, right? You've seen the Annunciation work. There's beautiful paintings of Mary sitting demurely in a darkened room or in a light with a stained glass window. They didn't have stained glass in the first century, but you get the idea. She was sitting, and then the angel or a light is there, and she sits with her hands folded, and she looks demure. And sometimes the angel Gabriel is carrying a lily. Sometimes Mary's holding a lily. Sometimes she looks down. Sometimes she looks up. But I'm not sure that all of those artists, or any of them, got that exactly right. It would be nice to think that if an angel came to you or I, we would perhaps sit acceptingly, demurely, perhaps holding a flower, saying, "Yes, all of that sounds great." I don't think so. I mean, let's just imagine, what if a messenger of the divine were saying those words to you? What would your response be? Greetings, favored ones. What? You have found favor with God. Who? Me? Yes, you. Can you imagine the internal conversations that you might have? Oh, no. It can't be. I'm busy. I'm not worthy. I'm not ready. Go away. You can imagine all of those things, and maybe we would have a dialogue with that favored one. Who, me? Yes, you. Oh, no. Oh, yes. It can't be. Yes, it can. I'm busy. Doesn't matter. I'm not worthy. You don't have to be. I'm not ready. God is. Go away. Too late. Greetings, favored ones. The Lord is with you, and blessed are you. What would it be like if we heard those words? Maybe a lot of stuttering and backpedaling and trying to talk our way out of it. We might not even hear that word, favored, only knowing that the Almighty has an eye on us now. We are not conditioned for favor, are we? The human brain is wired for warning and not for praise. There's a book called The Buddha's Brain, and it was written by two brain surgeons who were also teachers of meditation. And so they did their own research, being neurosurgeons, and they came to find what ancients have known for quite a long time, that, as they put it, the human mind is wired for alarm. It's something that happens way back in the amygdala and transfers to the prefrontal cortex. But it is not so wired for good experience. In fact, what they say is that the human mind is like Teflon for good experiences and like Velcro for bad experiences. And maybe that was because we needed to know where the saber-toothed tiger was instead of those delicious berries. Maybe we needed to have that warning system. But unfortunately, it seems that with the development of our technology and all of the things that we are inundated with, that our human brains have not really kept up with the ability to process good news as well as bad. We know that the algorithms based on the web are based on an algorithm of what's called clickbait, that things that are outrageous, shocking, or frightening are more apt to get a click than those things that are good news. It's the way we're wired. And so that is used, you know, to get our advertising dollars, to get us to go certain places. How many times have you clicked on one thing on the internet and found yourself 15 minutes later? Oops, what was I doing here? Right? That is part of the just to draw us in. But that's not what the message of the gospel is about. And there are ways to counteract this. There are sites that we can follow that I follow because I know that I need practice. I need the practice of following the good things. I follow an Instagram account called Good News that has a list of good news that happens every day. You know, I find the practice of my gratitude list helpful. I find lots of things to notice so that I can try to train my brain into noticing the positive as well as being afraid about the negative. That's what favor is about. We are not conditioned for favor. David Loos writes, "We live in a world that seems geared toward rewards and punishments. Whether at work or school or even home, we have been conditioned to expect people to give us only what we deserve." And how many times have you heard that in the political realm? "I did this myself. No one helped me. We can't have people with their hands out." As if poverty or homelessness was something that one had any control over at all. But that's what is so important about favor and God's blessing. It's not based on a system where favor is hard-earned and punishment is plentiful. God's system is different. Blessing and favor are poured out, not doled out. Not because of what we do, but because of who God is. This is what God does. Favor and blessing are simply defined as unmerited and undeserved. We might not want God's notice. That's a different sermon entirely. I'm pretty sure Mary wasn't looking for it. We might wonder what the consequences of favor might be. Greetings, favored ones. Uh-oh. What does God want now? I must admit that I've had that response more than once. Mary learns that she will bear a child. This would not be good news for a young girl unwed in first century Palestine. In fact, it would be a death sentence. The law allowed stoning for such an offense. When Mary goes to visit her cousin Elizabeth, she literally heads for the hills, away from the prying eyes and gossiping tongues of her community. We learn later that Joseph had planned to break the betrothal and needed an angelic visit himself to understand this favor and blessing from God. But the angel, in speaking with Mary, doesn't stop with pronouncing God's favor and blessing. Gabriel says, "Don't be afraid," and follows it with, "The Lord is with you." The promise of God's favor is also the promise of divine company in the living out of God's favor. Mary is in good company, for when she begins to live into this blessing from God, she learns of others who are blessed as well, her cousin Elizabeth. And there are the promises and prophecies of Zechariah, Elizabeth's husband, and the birth of John, and the pronouncements of Simeon and Anna. And Joseph stays with her, and she is accepted back into her community. I'm sure not without neighborly speculation, but she does not live the rest of her days in exile. She is blessed, and she belongs to God and to God's people. David Loos continues, "Notice one thing. Before Mary says yes, before she says yes, she is blessed. God initiates the blessing, and Mary is called to believe it. Greetings, favored one. Blessed are you." Her response is to believe what God has said. She does, and is held up as a model of faithfulness because she is willing to believe that she is blessed. Incidentally, this phrase, "Here am I, the servant of the Lord," Mary's word is actually akin to the phrase, to the word disciple. Sometimes that was translated as handmaiden. I am the handmaiden of the Lord, but it's much stronger. It is the same word that Jesus uses when he calls his disciples. "Here am I," Mary says, "a disciple, the first disciple of God's favor." She, in spite of all the circumstances and in seemingly impossible obstacles around this blessing, she believes. Throughout Luke's gospel, the willingness to trust the promises of God is the mark of discipleship. It's not that we have to earn the favor, it is that the favor is here and that we are called to be faithful enough to believe it. And so Elizabeth believes in her old age that she will nevertheless bear John, and the disciples believe that they will fish for people, and so on. Similarly, Mary also believes God's promise. So we are called to believe that God similarly notices, favors, and blesses us. We are called to believe that the Lord is with us. Emmanuel, this is the great promise and the great call to faithfulness in this season. That as we begin to live out the Lord's favor, that we too will be in divine company. Look around you, you already are. Others along for the journey will be walking beside us. This does not mean that being favored by God and blessed equals bliss. No more sorrow or heartbreak or tragedy or conflict, but that God is with us through these events, and then in them somehow to let the transforming power of love be made real again and again and again in us. And that's what being blessed is. God coming into the world and transforming the power of love into it becoming real and in a person, Jesus Christ. It continues to happen as we and in his name and by the power of his love notice and come to know that we are favored by God, held in the company of the Lord and blessed, so that we can help others to believe in God's goodness and presence and blessing and indeed become a blessing to the world. At the beginning of the pandemic in Jackson, Missouri, a local businessman and philanthropist became a secret Santa. He regularly gives out $100,000, and as he calls it, random acts of kindness. He has helpers. That last year, in the pandemic year, the second pandemic year, he chose as his angels the sheriff's department. They were given $100 bills, roughly $1,000 to each officer, and told to look for folks in cars who might especially need a blessing, cars with dings or some dents. You can imagine the reaction of folks pulled over. Not something that you would recognize as blessing. And the police officer would say, "Do you know why I pulled you over? To give you this." And those reactions of fear and irritation changed often to tears. The police had the opportunity to bring good news. That is blessed and favored, both for embattled law enforcement departments and for those they serve. That is what we are called to do. Maybe not with $100 bills, but with our knowledge and generosity of God's favor. To know that we are favored by God, held in the company of the Lord and blessed so that we can help others to believe in God's goodness and indeed become a blessing. So let's go back and imagine again what it would be like if we heard these words. So it takes practice to get those new neural pathways going. So sometimes we have to practice our response. So I'm going to give you the responses, and they are Mary's responses. The first is, how can this be? And I'll tell you when to say it. The second is, here am I, the servant of the Lord. And the third response is, let it be with me according to your word. Let's practice, shall we? It's a simple message, but not an easy one. So here it is. Before we say this, imagine Imagine where you will go this week, what you will do, and who you will meet. Imagine in every one of those circumstances that God is noticing you, favoring you, putting you in good company so that you will be blessed and be a blessing. So let's try this. I'll be the messenger and you'll respond. How can this be? Here am I, the servant of the Lord, and let it be with me. Ready? Greetings, favored ones. The Lord is with you. How can this be? Blessed are you. How can this be? Do not be afraid, for you have found favor with God. How can this be? And now, being born in you is the love of God made real. How can this be? Let's try it again. Greetings, favored one. The Lord is with you. Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Blessed are you. Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Do not be afraid, for you have found favor with God. Here am I, the servant of the Lord. And now being born in you is the love of God made real. Here am I, the servant of the Lord. One more time. With a new response. Greetings, favored ones. The Lord is with you. Let it be with me according to your word. Let's try that again. Greetings, favored ones. The Lord is with you. Let it be with me according to your word. Do not be afraid, for you have found favor with God. Let it be with me according to your word. And now being born in you is the love of God made real. Let it be with me according to your word. Your love will make God's love real in the world, and that love will never end. Let it be with me according to your word. And all God's people said, Amen.